downfield. He's got Drew. 35, 30. One of the end zone punt. Intercepted. Touchdown, Giants.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. Good afternoon, everybody. My name is John Schmelk. He is Lance Meadow. It is game day as the New York Football Giants get ready to take on the Indianapolis Colts at MetLife Stadium on Monday Night Football. First, let's take care of a little bit of business. If you're going to the game tonight, it is a very special night honoring Michael Strahan. He is receiving his Hall of Fame ring. At the half, he'll be joined on the field by many of his former teammates and many of the Giants Hall of Fame class. Before the game, more than 100 Giants alumni, as part of this homecoming night, will be lining the gauntlet as the players run out onto the field. So a very special night at MetLife Stadium tonight as the Giants get ready to take on the Indianapolis Colts. You can watch that halftime presentation on Giants.com. Make sure you check it out. Lance, this weekend was an interesting one in the NFL. And since the Giants last played, the Eagles and the Cowboys have combined to go 1-3. Both teams have lost their starting quarterbacks. Nick Foles could be out the remainder of the regular season, or maybe the next 6 to 8 games, depending on how that broken clavicle can heal. Tony Romo seems to think he could play in London against the Jaguars next week. With the bye the following week, I wouldn't be shocked if he's held out another week. Bottom line here, the Giants are only 2 games out in the loss column of Philadelphia, 1 game in the loss column out from the Dallas Cowboys. The window is open for them to make a second-half run to try to win the NFC East, but they have to be able to beat the Colts at home tonight.
Well, you have to take advantage of your opportunity, and then after the Colts, John, they have the Seahawks and the 49ers, 2 teams that are in contention for the wild card spot. So to a certain degree, they control their own destiny. But we could sit here and talk about opportunity after opportunity. If they don't take care of business on the field, it's not going to make any difference what the Eagles and the Cowboys do. However, with respect to the mathematics, as you just laid out, the divisional race is very much still up for grabs, and they are back in it with respect to the wild card. But a lot can happen from week to week. I think what we could take away from this past week, John, is notice how the conversation changes. You know, 1 week we look at this team as dominant.
Yep.
Then the next week we say, uh-oh, they had a little hiccup. That's the parody of the National Football League.
No doubt about it. We'll be taking your calls later on the show at 201-939-4513. We also monitor Twitter at #GiantsChat. If you want to send your questions and comments, we'll read some on the air as we move along for the next hour until 1 o'clock. Well, a lot of the talk this past week was in reaction to Jerry Reese's press conference on Monday when he said he wanted the Giants offense to take some more chances and be more aggressive. Well, Giants offensive coordinator Ben McAdoo was asked about that over the course of the week, and he talked about what he can do as a play caller to help the Giants make some more big plays on the offensive side of the ball.
You know, what I can do is I can give us some more opportunities where maybe the primary read for the quarterback is something that has a chance that we can throw the ball down the field. Maybe you can, maybe you can't. You know, a lot of things go into that.
And Lance, he talked about perhaps, and I think we saw some of this when the Giants played the Eagles a couple weeks ago, calling some more 5-step and 7-step drops. So the primary option is going down the field. But then, much like in the Eagles game, you put your quarterback at risk to get hit and maybe potentially risk some turnover, something Eli's done a great job of avoiding the last 4 weeks.
It's a catch-22. That's basically what Ben McAdoo has to decide between. You hit on the turnovers. Eli Manning is at 14 touchdowns to 5 interceptions, which is a great ratio for him, considering his interceptions have been very high over the course of his career. So ball security has not been an issue for Eli Manning. The minute you start chucking it up and throwing it deep and pressing the envelope, you're going to increase the opportunities for the opposition to force some turnovers. So you want to be careful in that department. I think that you want to have a nice balance because you want to keep the defense on its toes. The Colts defense was basically carved up by Ben Roethlisberger last week, and he mixed it up. He had some short passes. He got Antonio Brown out into open space, but he also went deep down the field. So I think there's going to be opportunities tonight, but I don't think that you can give in to the urge, John, and you can't just say, well, you know, the media is calling for us to all of a sudden dig deep into our bag of trips and Can't even get the words out here. If we dig deep into our bag of tricks and try to go deep down the field, you know, you can't really give in to the media's urgency. I think you need to see what fits well to this personnel. And you have Odell Beckham. You definitely want to get him out into open space. I don't think you need to run him down the field 30 to 40 yards. I think if the blocking is solid up the field, you could get him a 10, 15-yard pass, John. He has the speed and the quickness to make things happen.
No doubt about it. And that's what Tom Coughlin talked about in his Wednesday press conference, playing above the X's and O's. What does that mean? Giants quarterback Eli Manning tried to clarify when he spoke to the reporters on Wednesday.
I got to go through my progressions, go through my reads, and find the open guy. But, you know, sometimes you get to the end of the progression, no one's open. You got to scramble around. You know, receivers got to break off the route. They got to create some. You don't want to get into that every single play. You don't try to go and do something that's not part of the play or part of the scheme. It's just a guy making an extra effort, a guy making an extra block. You know, someone doing something to create a big play.
And I want to try to simplify this for Giant fans a little bit. Go back to 2011. Do you want to know why the Giants won the Super Bowl? Their players played above the X's and O's. It's the Victor Cruz slant pattern that turned into a 90-plus yard touchdown against the Jets. It's the Hail Mary where Hakeem Nicks goes up and gets it in the playoffs. It's the crossing pattern against the Falcons in the playoffs when Hakeem Nicks catches the ball across the middle and runs for a touchdown. It's back in 2007, David Tyree making the helmet catch, Eli Manning avoiding that rush. It's all those types of things that these players need to do to win football games. And we saw these types of plays happen all weekend, once again in the National Football League, Lance. And the problem this offense has had all year, they don't have somebody that can turn a normal play into a big one. Who's going to be that guy that steps up and gives Eli Manning some help to be that big play threat?
Well, Beckham is the first player that comes to mind, and we were touching on this a little bit earlier in the program. I think he has the dynamics, he has the versatility that if you get him out in open space, you know, he could turn a 5 or 6 yard gain into something that much more, but the key is getting him in the right position. I mean, that's the biggest obstacle for the Giants right now. You look at Reuben Randle, yes, he's consistent in terms of getting the football. He's up there in terms of targets, John, but very limited in terms of yardage after the catch. So he wouldn't be my first priority. I would say you got to get ODB out into open space.
And we'll see if the Giants can do that this week as Beckham continues to try to work himself back into the Giants offense. And, folks, make no mistake, the Giants offense is going to have to score points today. They're taking on an Indianapolis Colts offense that is ranked first in terms of yards per game, second in terms of points per game. This Giants offense, to me, Lance, is going to have to put 30 points on the board if they want to win this game today.
Well, you look at what Indianapolis has been able to do over the last few games, and they have also dominated time of possession, John.
Number one in the league.
So if you want to score points, you want to do it also in long, sustainable drives, because you want to keep their defense on the field, and you want to keep Andrew Luck and company off the field. They were not successful in doing that against the Dallas Cowboys. If you recall a few weeks ago, the Cowboys were number two in time of possession in the National Football League, and they could not get that Dallas offense off the field. It was one third down after another. Tonight, you have to get the Colts off the field. I think that, to me, is the biggest weapon for the Giants to win this game. It's going to be their offense more so than their defense. And it's not as if this defense can't make stops, John, but I think people need to put things in perspective due to the injuries, due to the inconsistencies. This is not a defense that is going to lock down the opposition. You're going to get whatever you can get out of this group.
Lance, it's almost like you know what's coming, because Perry Field said exactly that when he spoke to the media on Friday. Let's listen to Perry Field, Giants defensive coordinator.
They'll move the ball. We have to get red zone stops, and we have to get turnovers. But we have to get those red zone stops, because a team with good skill and with an excellent quarterback like that, they will move the football on you.
And that means Andrew Luck. That means T.Y. Hilton. That means Reggie Wayne. That means Dante Moncrief. That means Hakeem Nicks. That means Dwayne Allen. That means our old friend, Ahmad Bradshaw.
Anybody else you want to throw?
Trent Richardson, too. Why not?
Kobe Fleener?
Kobe Fleener. All those guys are big-time weapons here, Lance. And in terms of big plays, these numbers are heading into the weekend, because obviously the Colts haven't played yet, so that would skew the numbers a little bit. But heading in to this weekend of playing the National Football League, the Colts lead the NFL in yards, gaining 10 or more plays with 143, 20 or more plays with 44, and they have 40 completions of 20-plus yards. That also leads the league. So this Colt offense, and I think it's changed a little bit from last year when I thought they're a little bit more conservative, They're looking down the field now. They're looking to make some big, big plays.
And that's because they have the weapons. Another stat that I'll throw out, and this speaks volumes of the versatility and the balance, 8 players have at least 15 receptions apiece. No other NFL team has that much balance in their offense, and that includes, obviously, guys like Ahmad Bradshaw, who has been heavily involved in the passing game this season.
And so is Trent Richardson.
Correct. Now, yeah. Trent Richardson missed the Steelers game because of a hamstring injury. He'll be back today, so they'll go for that 1-2 punch. But as you mentioned with respect to the big plays, John, T.Y. Hilton is the first guy that comes to mind.
Man, he's good.
I mean, he really is stretching the field, and it's no surprise. This is his third season in the National Football League. This is when wide receivers start to break out, usually in year number 3. He has stepped up. It's not Reggie Wayne anymore. That's the biggest threat in this Colts receiving game. It's T.Y. Hilton. With respect to Dante Moncrief, what's interesting about him, John, is Hakeem Nicks, his snaps are down this season.
And Moncrief's are up.
Correct, and that seems to be the trend. It's similar to actually what's going on with the Pittsburgh Steelers. You have Martavis Bryant, their young rookie from this past season who came out of Clemson, is now stealing snaps away from Marcus Whedon. They're starting to phase him out a little bit, similar with what's happening with respect to the Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah, Lance, the Colts offense have 400 or more yards in 6 straight games. The NFL record is 8. It's shared by the Broncos and the Patriots over the last 10 years. A couple of their teams have done it, so they're very explosive. However, when you try to make big plays, as we talked about with the Giants, you are going to turn the ball over a little bit. Heading into this week, the Colts have 15 turnovers, 9 interceptions, and 6 fumbles. That's tied for 4th most in the NFL. Perryfield talked about not only slowing down the red zone, he also talked about turning them over. Now, they're starting 2 rookie offensive linemen at center and left guard of the Colts. You can get some pressure on Luck. Now, he is mobile. And by the way, he has more rushing touchdowns than every other quarterback in the NFL since he's come into the league, except for Cam Newton. Only has 1 more than him. So he's mobile. He can't avoid the rush, but you can pressure him. And when he tries to make these big plays, you can try to force some mistakes.
He took a safety last week. He was all the way back in his own end zone, and the Steelers got to him because they were able to fluster him and close down that pocket. The Colts' offensive line has given up 13 sacks on the season. That's not terrible. You look at the numbers, it's tied for the 10th fewest. But the key for him, at least going up against him, is contain him. Yeah. You just don't want him to get into a comfort zone because the guy can throw deep, he can throw short, and then if things completely break down, John, as you alluded to, he's going to run with the football. So he's very dangerous, he's very versatile. You got to make him uncomfortable, and you also, I think what's very important is, you know, we're focusing so much on the deep ball. He'll throw it to Ahmad Bradshaw in the flat for 4 yards, and then Bradshaw will take it the distance. We don't need to remind Giants fans about that. That's well documented during his time here. So that means that you need to be aware of those short passes, and that falls on the linebackers. And that gets back to the whole debate in gap situations, gap discipline. Yep. And we've been hearing about that a lot, John, every week. Perry Fuel and company, guys are out of their gap assignments. Well, when are we going to stop hearing about that? This is the week you got to stop hearing about it.
And rookie linebacker Devon Kennard will get his first start of the year today. With John Beesett heading to IR, he will get the start over Mark Herzlich. If his tweet over the weekend is accurate, we have to assume that it's going to be. So
take it for what it's worth.
Exactly. That's something to keep an eye on as well. Now, let's talk a little bit about this Colts defense. Now, they have struggled for at least a week. Now, heading into that Pittsburgh game last week, the Colts had the 3rd-ranked defense in the NFL. They were playing great football. Then they proceed to give up 600 yards, 500 through the air, and allow Ben Roethlisberger to throw 6 touchdowns. Now, given what the Steelers did to the Ravens last night, you wonder if that's more the Steelers' offense or the Colts' defense. Well, Giants wide receiver Odell Beckham Jr. took a look at that game film, and while there are some things to copy from what the Steelers did to the Colts, he thinks it was a lot more about the Steelers being on fire than the Colts really playing that poorly.
With every team, there's flaws in every team, and there's things that, you know, we're trying to attack, and Pittsburgh just did a great job at it, and they had one of those nights where you're on, your offense is clicking. So it's just one of those things, you know, we're going to come out and execute to the
best of their abilities. And Lance, now when you take a look at this Colts defense, they're in the middle of the league now in terms of yards and points, 15th and 16th in the league. They have 20 sacks in their wins, just 1 sack in their losses. So they will bring a lot of blitz packages. Vontae Davis is going to play tonight, it looks like. He's healthy. That'll help their cornerback position. This defense, despite their bad performance last week, is still very talented.
Yeah, I think that it gets overshadowed based on what happened with respect to the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think you need to put things in perspective. They were fourth against the pass heading into that Steelers game last week. They dropped all the way to 21st. No surprise. That's what happens when you give up over 600 yards and
yeah,
you give up 522 passing yards through the air. The key common theme, though, between this Ravens game and this Colts game in which the Steelers went up against that you pointed to, the Colts were missing Vontae Davis for the entire second half of that Steelers game. That was a significant blow. And Pittsburgh went up against the Ravens secondary missing Jimmy Smith,
who
was their top corner. So, you know, that's another indicator. Okay, Pittsburgh's taking advantage of the depth chart. Now, the Giants are banged up, too.
Well, I was going to say.
So, that's not necessarily.
Is this when I bring up they're missing their top two slot corners and Dominic Rodgers-Cromartie, who knows if he can get through a whole game?
Your guess is as good as mine at this point. But getting back to the defensive secondary for the Colts, Vontae Davis is going to be back. And Greg Toler also deserves a lot of credit. He's played very good football. They each have two interceptions on the season. They've gotten good play out of the safeties. The key to this defense, though, John, and you were talking about the sacks, is the linebacker core. Yep. The linebackers are responsible for half of their 21 sacks this season. Now, they did lose Eric Walden, which is a significant loss. He's on the outside. But DeQuell Jackson, the veteran they brought in from Cleveland who was released by the Browns after this season, I mean, he has solidified that group. And that's something that Indy has been missing, especially with Robert Mathis going down early in the season.
Yeah, technically, they do run a 3-4, but you're going to see a lot of four-down linemen. They run one of those hybrid fronts. So, especially in nickel and dime situations, they'll rush four guys on the line of scrimmage, though their base defense is a 3-4. Lance, here's the bottom line to me, and we'll get to your calls in just a second at 201-939-4513. The Giants are going to have to come out tonight and play their A football game. If the Giants don't come out and play very good football, they could get run out of this building by 20 or 30 points. Now, they could play their best ball, and if the Colts play their best ball, they still might lose. But if the Giants don't play very good football, close to the top of their game, unless the Colts come in and throw up a zero and really play poorly, this is going to be a hard go. So the Giants need to focus on playing their best football, not turn the football over, and do all those little things that they failed in the last couple of weeks to try to get this win.
That's why I think this game is on the offense, John.
Yeah,
I
agree.
Going back to that time of possession statistic, it jumps right off the page.
Hey, look, the Colts are going to score.
Yeah.
But the offense offense for the Giants has to do their part. They have to.
And the Steelers, the reason why they were effective, everybody looks at, well, Ben Roethlisberger put up an offensive clinic. They had the ball for 40 minutes.
I know.
I mean, they dominated the play clock.
Yep.
That's what the Giants are going to have to do. And it's not as if you got to put up 45 points, but if Eli Manning and company are able to have 7-8-play drives for 70 to 80 yards, if they're able to get 4 to 5 of those drives and the defense – at least, you know, keeps the Colts from getting a touchdown every single possession. You hold them to a field goal here or there. You know, that means you're in the game. And the goal is you want to be in the game come the fourth quarter, because whenever you're in a close game, sometimes the ball is going to bounce your way when you least expect.
You cannot afford a lot of three and outs in this game.
You've
got to convert your third downs on offense. You got to stay in the field to give your defense a little bit of a break and give them a chance to slow down the Colts offense, which might very well be the best in the National Football League. 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. You are watching Big Blue Kickoff Live with Lance Mendel and John Schmelk on Giants.com. Before we get to your calls, I want to remind you, listeners, you guys are winning cash every week at DraftKings.com, America's favorite one-week fantasy football site, where it's like a new season every time you play. Hurry, get free entry into one of our $100,000 fantasy football contests this weekend, where first place takes home $10,000. Head to DraftKings.com and enter the code BLUE to play for free. DraftKings.com, bigger events, bigger winnings, bigger millionaires. Enter BLUE for free entry right now at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com. Lance, want to hit the calls?
Absolutely. Let's start them up.
Let's do it. Drew in Virginia has been holding the longest. Drew, happy game day, my friend.
Hey, guys. How you doing, man?
Doing well, Drew. How's everything with you?
Good, good. Hey, man, first and foremost, man, I need to get something off my chest. It's going to be quick, and then I'm going to go into my phone call. Stevie boy, you know, when I called there last week, man.
Joe, hold on. I'm going to tell you the same thing I told Steve. I don't care about caller rivalries here. Get to your point and let's move on. Nothing's personal. You disagree, that's fine. Just get to your point and let's go.
He needs to grow up. Here's my point. You're right about Pittsburgh's offense. Pittsburgh's offense is on fire. Okay, so That you know, with regards to Indy's defense, I probably choked that one up to Pittsburgh.
It's a good question.
Can't put much stock or substance in that, considering how well Pittsburgh is playing. The Giants' offense has not clicked like the Steelers had over the last few games.
To me, that game's an outlier, and you should treat it that way.
Yeah, they're on fire. I mean, I watched them last night, and they're just on fire.
Yep.
To me, though, man, this game comes down to I think it's going to come down to the way our defense holds up. And to be honest, man, I still have concerns, and my concern mainly has to do with our tackling. I just Bradshaw is going to be all lathered up. And to be quite honest, man, it wouldn't surprise me if Hakeem finally, for one game, decided to show up. I just think that's going to be a lot of emotion on those two players right there. And, to me, I think our offense has problems too. But, I just think that this game is going to come down to our defense being able to hang in there. And to me, again, the biggest thing is tackling. And offensively, there's no doubt that we got to be able to operate and put up some points. I mean, I think that goes without saying. Our offensive line, I think, has to do a heck of a better job of, again, blocking, which is what I said last week. We got to be able to block, and we got to protect Eli. But I just got a feeling, man, it's going to come down. If our defense doesn't play, I think from that standpoint, we're going to get ran out the stadium. That's my point. And, hopefully the Giants will win. I kind of hate to sound like Debbie Downer, but hopefully we'll win. But I'm a little nervous about this game. And again, I'm nervous from the defensive side.
Well, you should be
all
nervous,
Drew. Thank you,
pal. Appreciate the phone call. I don't think this is an easy game by any perspective.
No, it's not.
It's a very big challenge for this Giants team, considering how well the Colts have been playing and the fact that they're going up against the number one offense in the National Football League, and the defense has not had many consistent performances this season.
No doubt about it. Hey, look, and Bradshaw's going to be pumped up. I think that's a much bigger issue than Hakeem Nicks being pumped up, just because I don't think Nicks has a whole lot left in the tank at this point. And look, Lance and I will take a mea culpa here. We said 2 years ago, when the Giants let Ahmad Bradshaw go, that we didn't think he had much left in the tank. Now, he missed all year last year with the injury, so we looked good last year. But this year, we're not looking so good. Bradshaw's had a very good season running the ball. As Lance mentioned a couple times already, he's done a great job catching the ball out of the backfield. And he looks very, very good. And Jamil McClain said it this week. Jason Pierre-Paul said it this week. The Giants still have to stop the run early in this game. They cannot let the Colts get running the football early and getting into those third and manageables. That's going to be a recipe for keeping the Colts on the football field and having the Giants lose that time of possession battle. And against the Eagles, and to a lesser extent against the Cowboys, but still against Dallas, they struggle stopping the run.
Yeah.
And with all this talk about Luck and Hilton and the weapons and all that stuff, that's great. Still got to stop him at Bradshaw.
Well, they've struggled to stop the run, even going back to the Eagles game too, John, where LeSean McCoy had breakout
Eagles
performance. It has been a big concern as each of those running backs, McCoy and DeMarco Murray, reach triple digits. You don't want that to all of a sudden become a trifecta.
And the Eagles went for 250.
Absolutely, as a team. But McCoy was over 100 himself, so it's a big concern. And Richardson and Bradshaw, if you look at the numbers during the course of the season, John, this is not a running juggernaut.
No.
I wouldn't describe them. But
they're passing
between
team.
The two of them, they balance off one another. I think you need to contain the running backs. I wouldn't maybe necessarily classify it as the running game.
I agree.
Keep the running backs in check, and then you're forcing Andrew Luck to rely on his receivers. Make them one-dimensional. We know they're a receiving team. They're a passing team. Take away the running backs. Make him utilize Dante Moncrief and T.Y. Hilton. Then maybe they become a little bit more predictable.
And then you try to get some turnovers, which is something, as we mentioned, they have been susceptible to so far this year. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Nick in New Jersey. Nick, you're up next. What's going on, pal?
Hey, John, Lance. How you guys doing today?
What's up, Nick?
Doing well, Nick. How's everything with you?
Good, good. Ready for some Giant football. And seems like when the Giants got their backs against the wall, the stars align, and the door is always open for them to step up and take the opportunity.
Well, Nick, in fairness, that was maybe the case 3 years ago, but the last 2 years, that has not been the case.
No, you're right, which is why I said the team's got to step up, and I think you guys are right. Tonight, it's got to be about the offense, because I don't think this defense is good enough to stop the Colts' offense. I think their offense is good enough to keep up with them and keep the Colts on their heels.
Hey, look, Nick, we agree 100%. I know Juice putting the onus on the defense. To me, if this defense tonight can hold the Colts to 27 or 31 points, I honestly think, considering all their issues with the injuries, no Colin Jenkins, we mentioned the corners that are all hurt, no John Beeson, I think they've done a pretty good job. This offense is going to have to put a 30 spot on the board today. They're going to have to. If they don't, I really have a hard time figuring out how the Giants win this game. The Giants offense has to do their part and put up some points on this Colts defense.
No, I agree. I agree. And going back to the offense, you know, I said it last week, I think we've seen the best of, you know, Randall, and I want to see more of Preston Parker, and I want to see some Kevin Ogletree and see what these guys can do along with Odell Beckham.
Well, we're going to have to really put them to the test tonight because Eli Manning's going to need all hands on deck. And Nick, appreciate the phone call. I'm looking at the game log for when the Giants put up 30 points,
how they went about
getting those 30 points. Great minds think alike,
yes,
apparently. And that was during the three-game winning streak, where they had 30 points in each game. And the common theme, John, turnovers.
Yep.
I mean, that's
takeaways
they needed. Takeaways. Getting the ball from the opposition,
yep,
that set up the 30-point offensive clinic. When the turnovers, when the takeaways, are not there, they're not seeing the day of light when it comes to 30 points.
No, they're
not.
They didn't get the takeaways against the Lions. They scored 14. They didn't do it against the Cardinals. They scored 14. They got shut out against Philadelphia, and they only put up 21 against Dallas because they didn't take the ball away. And you're right.
One takeaway in that game, but that was it.
And I think this defense has the chance to get some takeaways against the Colts, but they're also going to have to sustain some drives here. And two issues this Giants defense has had, and I lost count of the total number, but I know heading into that Dallas game, I think the Giants had given up 11 or 12 80-plus yard drives for scores over the course of the year, and I don't know how many they gave up against Dallas, but I think it was at least two. So this Giants defense does have the bad habit of allowing long drives, and like you just said, they don't really sustain long drives on offense. That's a bad formula for playing the Colts tonight.
10 plays, 80 yards, the Terrence Williams touchdown.
Yep.
Going back to the Cowboys game. 6 plays, 93 yards, the second Gavin Escobar touchdown. And let's see, did they have another one? That was it.
So two.
Those were the two scores.
So that's either 13 or 14 drives in the year. They've allowed a team to go 80 or more yards and score.
That's a problem.
And like you mentioned, without getting the takeaways, this offense hasn't been able to sustain long drives. So.
And the Colts, who have over 40 plays of 20 or more yards, which is tops of the NFL, the Giants have given up 35 plays of 20 yards or more. This is not a good combination.
No,
you have a defense that gives up the big plays, and you have an offense that thrives on the big plays.
And here's the other thing I'm worried about, too, this week. You know, we've heard the defense talk a lot about trying to get turnovers, and guys aren't trusting where they're supposed to be. Guys need to go out there and try to make some more plays and break on the ball and trust themselves and all that stuff. Well, what happens if the Colts start running some double moves? Guys start breaking on balls, and then all of a sudden you got T.Y. Hilton with no safety help running free down the field. So I'm not sure this is the week to start rolling the dice and taking all sorts of chances playing a team like the Colts where they lead the league in big plays. I'm not sure that's a great combination either.
The goal is you do want to get to the quarterback,
right,
John, but at the same time, I mean, T.Y. Hilton, if they line him up in the slot, which they do sometimes, I mean, who's going up against T.Y. Hilton tonight? J.Ron Hosley?
I mean, Lance, you can argue, and it wouldn't be far-fetched, that T.Y. Hilton's been the best receiver in football this year.
He
doesn't have the touchdowns, but in terms of catches and yards, he's right there with everybody. Him and Antonio Brown are neck and neck.
Well, Brown would be the other guy that I throw up there. They've been absolutely consistent. I mean, that's what you want out of a wide receiver. You want a guy that every single game he's a threat, he makes big plays. Hilton's got 3 straight games with at least 100 yards. So he's been a huge target. He had over 200 receiving yards against the Texans secondary.
Wow.
On the Thursday night game. He can make big plays in the blink of an eye. That's why if this is a game that you want perifueled all of a sudden, really dig deep and take a lot of chances, I just don't know if that's the equation that you want to have set up tonight, because they'll make you pay.
Yeah, especially dialing up the blitz against a guy that can evade the blitz as well, like Andrew Luck. So even if a guy gets there and Luck avoids that blitz, then you're caught one-on-one with a banged-up secondary against this group of wide receivers. Good luck.
Now, one thing on the defensive side, and this was brought up during the bye week when the assistant coaches spoke, Stevie Brown was brought up,
who
we did see in the last game, and they mentioned that, you know, perhaps they'll utilize Stevie Brown, John, in the slot as the nickel corner to get him out on the field. That was one thing that was thrown out.
I don't like him one-on-one with T.Y. Hilton,
no, not
I'll tell
at all.
You
I don't think anybody's good one-on-one with T.Y. Hilton, but, you know, considering J. Ron Hosley and the height disadvantage, you know, this may be the game where you at least want to bring some new personnel, some new blood into that slot.
And frankly, I wouldn't mind seeing Stevie Brown give it a chance to play deep again next on Trail Roll and getting some of those stops from Quinton Demps, who has had some breakdowns at that safety spot. So we'll see if Stevie Brown can lend a hand tonight when the Giants take on the Colts. His former team, by the way. So I'm sure he'd like to go out there and play, take on the former organization. That's, I believe that's where he started his career, right?
Correct.
That's where
he was with the Raiders after that. And Mathias Kiwanuka has contacts in the Indy area because he grew up there. There's a number of connections.
Avis Roper, former Giants PR employee, now running the shop over in Indianapolis. Bradshaw, Knicks. This is like
a lot of ties.
We're coming home night tonight.
Reunion.
Exactly. 201-939-4513. Just want to remind our listeners that people are winning cash every week at DraftKings.com, America's favorite one-week fantasy football site, where it's like a new season every time you play. Hurry, get free entry into the $100,000 fantasy football contest this weekend, where first place takes home 10 grand. Head to DraftKings.com now and enter code BLUE to play for free. DraftKings.com, bigger events, bigger winnings, bigger millionaires. Enter BLUE for free entry now at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com. Back to the phones. Let's go to Cliff out in California. Cliff, thanks for holding, pal. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for listening. How you doing?
I'm good, guys. How you doing?
Doing well.
Come on, Cliff. What you got?
Yeah. When the I think the Giants' offense is ready to make a big move. When we played the Eagles, Chip Kelly, he kind of got us. He kind of outcoached us. They went with the wide nines, and they jammed the receivers really good. And they left Eli with no short options, so he had no choice but to look deep. The Giants' offense have made corrections. Normally, when Eli gets a little bit of pressure from the outside, he rolls away from that. Now I notice that they have him stepping up in the pocket, which is something I haven't seen him do since college. Now, if we play the Eagles again right now, I think we beat them. We got the Colts tonight. I think the offense can definitely hang with the Colts. Problem is going to be defense, particularly the slot, which you guys have been talking about already. If Hosley can't hold his own, then maybe we need to run with three safeties. Maybe instead of Hosley in the slot, we need to stick Roll in the slot. And it's going to come down to who hits the hardest. Are they hitting us or are we hitting them? If we hit them, and I'm not talking about dirty, but below the head and above the knees and blow them up.
Well,
if
Cliff,
we hit them, then they'll fold up their tents and they'll just take their L and leave town.
Cliff, I will say this. I think something the Giants haven't done well.
If they're running to us, then, you know, it might not go so good for us. But I believe that we're ready to make a move. I'm not afraid of the Colts, not afraid of the 49ers or the Seahawks. Bring them. Bring all of them.
All right, Cliff.
Bring them all tonight.
I got to get Cliff in the locker room, apparently.
Yeah. All right, Cliff. Thanks, pal.
All right, Cliff. Appreciate the phone call.
Thank you, man. All right, a couple of things on what Cliff said. Number one, the physicality thing I agree with, because I think the Giants and the reason they've lost two straight games is because they've played so poorly at the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. They've lost the trench battle on offense and on defense. So I agree with you there, Cliff. Now, I'm not sure I agree with you on the other stuff, because I don't see why, based off what we've seen so far from both teams, you think the Giants have made some kind of wonderful adjustments here where if they play the Eagles today, they're going to beat them. I don't see it. I think I have to see the Giants play a better brand of football tonight before I make a statement like that, number one. And number two, I'm not sure if I want to put Ancharo back in the slot here to cover wide receivers one-on-one. Now, he'll do a decent job of it. I'm not saying he's not going to do a decent job of it. But then you got Stevie Brown and Demps as your two safeties against a team that likes to make big plays. Don't like that.
I don't think you can sacrifice that at this point. I think you need to keep Roll in his comfort zone. If anything, I think you move Stevie Brown or Quinton Demps into the slot. Yep. That's who I would go with. But the goal is not to take Roll out of the position that he thrives, because they've done that in the past and it's backfired on them. So this is not the time to do that. I think you have enough depth at safety that you use some of the other personnel if you don't have confidence in Hosley at this point. The other thing we should note, they did sign Mike Harris off the Lions practice squad.
Yep.
He took John Beeson's spot. I would not expect much out of him today.
But he does play the slot.
So that's at least some added depth in that department.
201-939-4513. And look, Cliff's right. You're not scared of the Niners. You're not scared of the Seahawks. You're not scared of the Cowboys. You're not scared of the Colts. But at the same time, you respect them because they're good football teams. And frankly, so far this year, they've shown they're a better football team than the Giants have been. Now, we've said this a million times. This is a week-to-week league now. Anything can happen 1 week to the next. If the Giants play a really good game tonight and the Colts don't play that well, guess what? The Giants might win by a couple touchdowns. That's possible. That's the way this league is now. Just look at the results every week, folks. Teams go up, teams go down. A lot of times without rhyme or reason. So keep that in mind moving forward. Lance and I mentioned at the top of the show, since the Giants have last played, the Eagles are 1-1, the Cowboys are 0-2. Tony Romo is out for who knows how much longer. They seem to think he's playing next week. We'll see. And Nick Foles could be out for almost the entire season with a broken clavicle. That's obviously your collarbone.
Yep.
So he could be out for a long time. Who knows how good Mark Sanchez does as his replacement. Though, honestly, I think Sanchez will do an okay job. I got to be honest with you.
He's a good fit for that offense.
I agree. I think he'll do a decent job if he doesn't turn the football over. So there is an opportunity here. And the Giants have to play better football, cleaner football, smarter football, and actually make some plays, as Tom Coughlin likes to say, make plays above the X's and O's if they want to go out there and beat the Indianapolis Colts. Someone go out there and do something that's going to wow the fans. Make a play where the fans are going to get up and they're going to cheer, where they're going to go, wow, that's Giants football. That's a guy who's a star. Because, Lance, that's how you win games now. I mean, you don't win games with scheme. You win games with players making plays. And we haven't seen that, frankly, on either side of the ball from the Giants the last 2 weeks.
Well, look at the Patriots-Broncos game. You had two teams that are evenly matched. Julian Edelman returns a punt for a touchdown. Then you look at Rob Gronkowski making some big game-changing plays. I mean, that's what jumped out to you about that performance last night. Individuals jumping off the box score. And the Giants haven't had that game-to-game. They've had that, you know, a game here, a game there. But you need it every game. And how about somebody to step up?
And how about guys not making plays and making mistakes? You know, Peyton Manning got credit for a couple of interceptions in that game. Pass hits Wes Welker right in the chest. He gets afraid that someone's going to whack him from behind. It pops up in the air. Welker gets nailed, and the Patriots intercept the ball. The Broncos came out in the second half there. If they score on that drive, it's a one-possession ball game. But a Welker drop, because it goes up in the air, turns into a pick, it changes the entire tenor of the ball game. So it's not only guys making plays, it's guys not making mistakes. This is a player's league, guys. The players got to make plays. They got to beat the guy lining up across from them. And the Giants haven't done that enough this year. They'll have another chance to do it tonight. The night, by the way, that Michael Strahan does get honored at halftime, gets his Hall of Fame ring. If you go into the game, get into the stadium early. There'll be a big pregame ceremony. Halftime, stay in your seats. Save the bathroom break for later. Maybe go between the first and second quarters. Get a little extra food before the game.
You got to
get in at halftime.
This.
No, you do.
Yeah,
it's a plan. Maybe eat a little bit more in the tailgate. But stay in your seats at halftime to watch Michael Strahan get his ring. Hall of Famers on the field, former teammates on the field. It'll be an excellent presentation. I know they've been working really hard at it the last couple of weeks, so it should be a lot of fun. 201-939-4513. Sean's in Connecticut. Sean, what's going on?
How are you guys? Good afternoon.
What's up, Sean?
Sean,
first
what you got?
Time caller, first time listener. But
thank you.
I've seen your guys' show on the NFL Giants app before. Well, I'll get to you really quick. I've been listening all game, or all show, should I say. And the Giants tonight, what you got to go back to a little bit is last night during the Pittsburgh-Baltimore game, Mean Joe Green was, you know, immortalized by them. And this evening you got Michael Strahan on the Giants that's going to get immortalized at halftime. There's an essence of that comes around because the Giants are all usually about when Giants are good, it's defense and it's a running game. The passing game is always a third component of it all. And tonight the Giants' defense needs to figure something out, and they can figure something out. They have statistical facts of Ahmad Bradshaw and Akeem Nicks going against Perry Fuel's defense.
Okay.
And because of that fact, guess what we have? We have this thing called leverage, and therefore an advantage. Are you guys with me?
Well,
so
but hold on here. Before we let you continue, Sean, Akeem Nicks is not that involved in the offense.
He hasn't done anything, but guess what? Ahmad Bradshaw has.
Well,
no,
correct. All right, so that's one guy, though.
The quick dunk and dunk to Ahmad Bradshaw from Andrew Luck. No one can figure it out. But guess who can?
Ahmad Bradshaw
had to go against the offense his entire career while practicing, so on and so forth, as a Giants defensive coordinator.
Yeah, Sean, I hear you, but keep this in mind. The Colts have a different scheme.
He knows Ahmad Bradshaw, and if you shut down the run game, that makes Andrew Luck one-dimensional. Now, you guys are talking about T.Y. Hilton, best slot receiver in the game right now, maybe number two, I agree. Stevie Brown, if this guy can set up alongside with Antrell Rule, and sit back there. Now, I have a question for you guys, but I don't know the answer.
Yeah.
Dominic Rogers Cromartie, is he playing or no?
He'll play. Yeah. I don't know how long he's going to last in the game. I don't know at what level he's going to be able to play. But as far as we understand it, he's officially listed as questionable. But based on how he practiced this week, if I had to guess, I think he'd play tonight.
Okay. So, and Reggie Wayne is also questionable, correct?
He'll likely play, though. I mean, he got into practice.
They'll both likely play, like snaps. So there's another negative zone that I don't know if we need to worry about.
Well, but, I mean, they got T.Y. Hilton. They got Dante Moncrief. You know, you're overlooking, Sean, you're overlooking the depth of the Colts receiving corps.
Against Dallas, what was his passing percentage?
You're going to keep going. It's okay.
Sean, what I was hitting on is that you're overlooking the depth of the Colts. You know, I mean, we could sit here and say Reggie Wayne is banged up, Ahmad Bradshaw. Dante Moncrief is a young, upcoming wide receiver who's filled in admirably for him. You got to factor in T.Y. Hilton. And here's another thing.
Dwayne Allen, the tight end, by the way, has had a very
Kobe
good
Fleener,
year.
Who have been very big red zone targets. And here's the other thing that I want to bring out to counter your advantage, saying that the Giants are familiar with Ahmad Bradshaw. Name me how many players on this defense, specifically in the front seven, went up against Ahmad Bradshaw in practice.
There's one. What was there that went up against Ahmad Bradshaw is GPP. That's
okay,
it. There's
thank you. So how much of an advantage is that?
And there's Antrell Rule.
Sean, so how much of an advantage is that?
I agree with that.
I mean, did Jameel McClain go up against Ahmad Bradshaw in practice? Did Devon Kennard go up against him?
Jameel McClain, the last time he stepped in for John Beeson, we won.
Well, but that's fine. But you're talking about familiarity with Ahmad Bradshaw. That's what I'm focusing in on. You're right. The experience factor is there.
The coordinator's job, and he's done.
Correct, but Sean, players have
defense,
to make plays,
coaches,
though. But players have to make plays,
And it's also
that's
a different scheme. It's not like Bradshaw is doing what he did in the Giants scheme. He's doing it in the Colts scheme. So how they're utilizing Bradshaw is going to be different than how the Giants did. You know what I mean?
And we keep undercutting fuel because you don't think he's going to be prepared for Ahmad Bradshaw, who's caught. He's caught, not ran. Caught for how many touchdowns going in this year? Like, I'm getting it. I wish I picked him up in fantasy. This guy's demolishing fantasy people because he's catching touchdown passes.
No, Sean, look, Sean, we aren't saying that Perry Fuel's not going to be prepared for Ahmad Bradshaw. Of course he's going to be prepared for Ahmad Bradshaw. He's going to have the guys know what plays he likes to run, when they like to go to him in the passing game. But it's one thing to be prepared for the guy, and it's another thing to stop him. Because at some point, you're going to have to pick your poison.
I think you stop Bradshaw, you lower the dimensions that the Colts can be good. And then you have to rely on Andrew Luck. And guess what? If Luck has a big game, guess who has to have a big game? Eli Manning. And that's when it comes down. I honestly think Eli Manning has, and I'm a Giants fan, I bleed blue. My entire life, I will always bleed blue.
I couldn't tell that by the phone call, so I'm glad you clarified that.
Come on now. I didn't call this show to be made fun of. Come on, guys.
No,
we're just having a little
fun.
We're keeping things light here.
Tonight, I don't know. I know what they need to do to win the game. I've been saying it all year. Run the football. I don't care in the first quarter if it's three and out. But the problem is now you lost Jennings again to the knee injury. Yep. So now you have to sit there on a rookie's back. And Peyton Hillis, who was on the cover of Madden, that's all I got to say. That, you know what I'm saying? That he, you can try to establish a run. You establish a run, then Tom Coughlin's offense and coaching style works. Eli Manning has figured out Ben McAdoo's offense.
McAdoo, you're whatever. Killing me here. I thought you were a diehard Giants fan, Sean. McAdoo. Come on, we're halfway into the season. You can't butcher a coach's name like that.
Season, for the first time, I saw this human being speak last week on Channel 2 News. You know what I mean? Like, he's only come out now. Were you scared about taking this job? But all I have to say is, like, this is what I'm saying coming from a Giants fan perspective. Andrew Luck, guess what? My wife has him on fantasy. She's winning the fantasy league that she's in. And he wants the whole Andrew Luck spiel. Guess what? Number one quarterback next year, if not this year.
All right, Sean.
Thanks
appreciate
for the call,
buddy. Thanks so much.
You guys have a good afternoon. Thank you very much.
You too, man. Well. Thanks for calling in.
I'm looking through the game log of Ahmad Bradshaw. There's been games, John, where he's been relatively quiet.
Oh, sure.
And they still have won by a huge margin. So, I mean, clearly you do want to contain him, don't get me wrong, but, I mean, I don't think it's as simple as Sean was alluding to where if you take him out, you know, they don't have enough weapons that can make up for him.
But it's taking out both running backs.
Correct,
though. I mean, who knows what – I mean, you'd have to look at it and see what Trent Richardson did in those games, or Bradshaw didn't do a whole lot. But, look, you want to stop the run. But the bottom line is, look, This offense is built around Andrew Luck. He's going to throw the ball. He's going to be the centerpiece of what they do. And the Giants have to figure out a way to slow him down with a banged-up secondary. It's not going to be easy. And Eli Manning, and I think that was Sean's best point. Look, Eli Manning's going to have to play with Andrew Luck in this game. And it's, you know what? Let me rephrase that. It's not fair to put all the onus on Eli Manning. The Giants' offense is going to have to play with the Colts' offense in this game. So Manning's weapons are going to have to be just as effective as Luck's weapons, and Manning's going to have to be as effective as Luck, and the offensive lines are going to have to be as effective as each other. So that's something to keep an eye on moving forward. By the way, listeners, you guys are winning cash every week at DraftKings.com, America's favorite one-week fantasy football site, where it's like a new season every time you play. Hurry, get free entry into the $100,000 fantasy football contest this weekend, where first place takes home $10,000. Head to DraftKings.com right now to enter. The code BLUE to play for free, DraftKings.com. Bigger events, bigger winnings, bigger millionaires. Enter BLUE for free right now at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com. Let's go back to the phones and say what's up to Pat out in California. Pat, what's going on?
Hey, guys. How are you this morning?
What's up, Pat? Pat? What you got?
Good to hear from you guys.
Thanks for calling in, Pat.
I have a different keys to the game that you guys have been talking about. How is Hankins health?
Hankins is 100% healthy. Now it's funny you bring up the tackles. Remember, Jenkins is out for this game, which means we might see Jay Bromley for the first time. And I spoke to Perry Fuel about Jay Bromley last week, and he considers Bromley right now in his development more of a pass rusher. So in a lot of these situations where the Colts are looking to throw the football, you're going to see Bromley in that game trying to rush the passer a little bit where Jenkins used to line up.
Here's my key right there. When you get to Luck, you must bring him down.
Yeah.
He is much bigger than people think, you know, who've never seen him.
And faster.
And he extends plays.
Yep, 100%.
And that's where the linebackers come in, because as the tackles or ends get to him, that's when he looks for Bradshaw, the dump-off. So that's when the linebackers have to make their move towards Bradshaw or the back and take that dink away. You know what I mean?
No, Pat, I agree. And the other thing, too, and, you know, you mentioned Jenkins off the top. You mentioned the tackles off the top. Like I mentioned off the start of the show, Colts have two starting rookie offensive linemen, one at center, one at left guard. These guys were not high draft picks, all right? They're undrafted free agents and late-round picks. So I think if the Giants can generate some pressure in this game, they can generate it up the middle, and that's what usually flusters quarterbacks the most. So I'm putting the onus on the Giants' defensive tackles now to put some pressure on Luck, and you're right. He's bigger than people think, and he's more elusive than people think. You got to bring him down when you get there. I'm 100% in agreement.
And then on the offensive side? On the offensive side, we're getting better every game. I'm not going to predict we're going to put up 50. I'm not going to predict we're going to put up 17.
How about 30?
I think we've evolved. I think we're evolving, and we're getting better. And I'm a big believer in McAdoo, and I think Eli's learning it, getting better every game. And if we stay healthy, we're good, you know, as long as the offensive line can protect him.
Well, that's the key. You hit it right on the nose, because in the Eagles game, they did not protect him, and the offense took a huge, significant step back. So, I mean, you need more consistency from the offensive line. I think they did a better job in pass protection against the Cowboys, but the running game has yet to really have its breakout game since that three-game winning streak. So it would be nice if you don't need Andre Williams to run for 100 yards tonight, but you just want to see more positive runs, not these zero gains and negative gains. And if he can stay in the flow of the game and make these third downs more manageable. The last few games, third downs have been absolutely miserable. That is something that they have to correct.
Yeah, Pat, I agree 100% with you.
You can go to any NFL game. Sorry to interrupt, but if you can go to any NFL game, and the team that gets in third and short and gets their defense in third and long wins the game,
and
almost
Pat,
99% of the time.
To me, my key on offense for the Giants, and we'll get to that at the end of the show, but I'll give you a little teaser now. You got to protect Eli Manning. The Colts blitz a lot. This isn't a low-pressure package team. They will bring the heat. In their five wins, they have 20 sacks. In their three losses, they have just one sack. So when the Colts get to the quarterback, they win. And we know the Giants' offensive line has struggled this year, and it worries me that this is the game where Jerry Reese comes out, talks about making big plays down the field and taking more chances. Because to me, this is the type of defense where if you want Eli taking in 5- and 7-step drops to try to chuck it down the field, you can get into a lot of trouble.
That's if that's your only part of the game,
Of course.
What you got to do is get that stretch run play that they haven't used yet. Get the stretch run play, get the linebackers moving laterally, and then stop and run and let it go as someone was running lateral. It can be done. It's just they haven't done it.
Well, the execution hasn't been there, and that's been a problem.
Thanks, Pat.
Gotta
thank
shore
you,
that up.
Really enjoyed it.
You got it, Pat.
Thanks for calling
in,
Pat.
Thanks
appreciate
so much.
It. 201-939-4513.
There's been some tweets out here on Giants chat, so I figure we should throw some of those in here. We have SNF Mikey at Mikey Angel TV. We were talking about who to utilize out of the slot. Mm-hmm. He says, move Dempsey to the slot. Typically, speedy receivers play the slot, and if Dempsey is anything, he's speedy. From a talent perspective, that does make sense.
Well, here's the thing. Dempsey is fast in a straight line. I'm not sure Dempsey has that side-to-side quickness to stay with some of those quick wide receivers that, you know, do that side-to-side change of direction stuff really well.
On the crossing routes you're talking about.
Exactly.
Well, Hilton, though, is more of a guy that's vertical.
That is
true. So I think you can hang tight with Hilton. The other receivers, like a Wayne or somebody else, that's when you get into an issue.
Yeah, exactly. I agree.
You have some more? No, I didn't. I thought you were maybe monitoring as well. I mean, we've got a number of tweets here in terms of people chiming in.
All right, well, how about this? Lance and I will check him out, but let's go to the next call in the meanwhile.
Sure.
We have two more phone calls before we say goodbye. Then we'll hit some Twitter, give you the keys to the game. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Steve in Washington, D.C. Steve, what's going on?
What's happening, fellas? Appreciate you taking my call. How
Thanks,
you guys
Steve.
Doing this morning?
Doing well.
Steve, how's everything with you?
Good. I'm great. And I'm going to keep this, you know, kind of brief. I hope you guys engage me. You know, so I just want to say, first and foremost, at least I'm grown enough to know that after a first, if you have a first, you got to have a second. Get to your point. Go to the second point every now and then.
Steve, go, say, go.
You're digging this morning today.
Go.
You love to dig.
It was too funny to me. So anyway, I'm moving on, guys. Listen, first of all, I appreciate you guys tolerating me, okay?
Don't worry.
I'll be drinking after this program to get over it.
Get to your point. Let's go, Steve.
Trust me, but hey, listen, man, that's all I'm saying. Get me off my yard. Anyway, the keys to winning the game, that's what it's all about. That's what this phone call's all about. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to win. And this is what we got to do, guys. We have got to obviously run the ball, but how do we run the ball? Engage me, guys. I see us having a successful running game is not necessarily on the back of just Andre Williams. We got to keep these guys fresh. You know what I'm saying? We got to keep them a raw hide. We want to keep them competing with each other on the sidelines. And we got to keep Williams healthy.
Here comes 29.
Let's go there. We got to keep Williams healthy. Can you guys touch on that a little bit? Don't you think that, you know, to me, we don't know how Jennings got hurt or if he was, you know, if there's an destiny to get hurt, but I just like to see us use these running backs that we have. Why have them just sitting on the bench and then expect them to produce when
they're
cold?
I hear you. I hear you. But to me, and generally I agree with you, and you heard me say earlier in the year, I don't want to overuse Rashad Jennings. Now, I don't think he got hurt because of that. I think, you know, you get hit in the knee, your knee gets twisted, it happens. It doesn't matter, you know, at what carry number you're at when that injury happens. But with Andre Williams, to me, he's the type of power back that almost gets better with the more carries he gets. And the more he's on the field, he gets into a rhythm. He wears down the defense. Now that doesn't mean that I don't think you can use Payne Hillis on all your third downs to be a pass protector, catch the ball out of the backfield. I think that's the perfect role for Payne Hillis if you want to use him there. And if you want to roll out there for a series or two, Michael Cox as a change of pace guy to give the defense a little
Thank
bit of a
you.
Different look.
Okay.
I'm fine with that. But I still want Andre Williams getting 20 carries in this game.
I have no problem with that, but at some point, it's not, you know, we need a change of pace, too. I agree, he's a workhorse. He gets, you know, he needs to get warmed up, you know, all that. But, you know, obviously he needs a rest. And, I mean, let's just face it, odds are if you carry the ball more, you have a greater chance of getting injured.
Well,
so.
Steve, I don't mean to interrupt. I'll let you continue. How about getting a lead and then dictating the tone of the game on the ground? Because, you know, in order to get the change of pace running backs in, you want to have a lead so that you can toy with different personnel. The problem is the Giants have been playing from behind the last few games. So, you mm-hmm. know, you got to get into the fourth quarter till you get Williams in the ballpark of about 15
carries. And frankly, in fact, Steve,
Listen,
the Giants
really
haven't had
that,
a...
But don't you think we got to start throwing at least through the first down stick? You know, that's what I was talking about, being, you know, quote-unquote, being aggressive on both sides of the ball. We got to at least got to throw to the first down stick. You know, stop waiting on these guys to, quote-unquote, make a play.
Well, Steve, here's the problem. This offense,
Steve,
this offense is designed for run after the catch, all right? That's how it's designed. On a third and seven, you might throw it only 4 yards in the air because you're counting on your receiver or your tight end and your running back, whoever catches the pass, to turn it upfield and get the first down. You might not like it. But that's not going to change. You watch the Packers.
It's not about liking it, John. It's not working. It's not working.
The Giants on third down haven't been bad this year.
And drive everybody insane, including yourself, when it's not working. Here's why it's not working, John. First of all, it lets the defense cheat. Okay, they're going to give us that.
Last two games.
Because now we can play press. You know, we could do whatever we got to do. We know the receivers are not getting that wide open. Just roll with me for a minute. Wouldn't it be better to give these guys a little bit more opportunity to get some separation? You know, and I'm gonna say this, and I'm gonna say a couple other things, and I'll get off and listen to you guys.
Well, Steve, let me piggyback off of your last point. You talked about separation. The Eagles game, Eli Manning, by the time he took one step back, I mean, he had three or four defenders in his face. So separation goes hand in hand with how the offensive line is playing. Keep that in mind.
And here's what I got to say. That was one thing I was going to touch on, man. Here's what I was going to say. All right, at some point, you got to realize your line is going to be what your line is. I think it's a combination of things. You know, guys underperforming, you know, play calling, the whole nine. I'm not even going to put it on one thing, but here's what I'm going to say. It's all right. We know Eli don't have no protection. This, that, and the other. Okay, I'm with you. But at some point, the first form of, you know, thing you got to do is protect yourself. Let Eli call. You know, he should be the one who's calling the offense, you know what I'm saying, rather than the center. That, in my opinion, number one, he should be calling the protection. Number two, sell the play action. Give me a pump fake. You can't run. Give me a pump fake. Do something different. Things that you can do. Don't tell me you can't pump fake. I mean, I'm saying that little bit to slow the defense down every now and then. Don't put it all on the offensive line. We got what we got. Okay, I know they need to perform better, but at some point, you got to protect yourself. You got to see what you got, and you got to make the adjustments, too. So Eli needs to step up. Reuben Randle, I'm expecting a big game out of him. He cannot let his former alma mater, his junior, Odell Beckham, outdo him. If he's got any kind of self-pride, and that's what it all comes down to, Giants pride, period. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to just listen off-air, guys. I know I said a lot, but seriously, you know, what we got, and I expect leaders to step up. So let's get it, man.
Hey,
I'm expecting a W.
Steven, I agree. I think you have to design what you do on offense based on what you have at the offensive line. And I do think that's something the Giants will do this week in preparing for this Colts blitz, where they do bring the heat an awful lot. They'll bring it over 30% of the time, getting after the quarterback. So this is something you definitely have to keep an eye on with this game. And look, Steve says, you know, people want to, you know, wave a wand and, you know, have magical solutions with X's and O's, throw it to the sticks, do this, do that, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The bottom line is that you mentioned separation, something that we haven't mentioned yet on today's show. The receivers aren't getting separation. And that's one of the issues you're having in the passing game. When the quarterback has time, which he's had for a lot of the games this year, except for that Eagles game, and the Lions game in week number one, and to a certain extent the Cardinals game in week two, you know, the receivers haven't exactly been running away from cornerbacks.
It's been an issue. Correct. And then when you don't get away from the opposing corner and you can't protect Eli Manning, then there's no hope for the offense.
Then you're dead.
Happening
you're dead.
Against the Eagles.
No
so,
question.
You know, I think the problem is, John, it gets back to the consistency of this team. You've had some games, you're right, where there's been separation, but in those games, you've had offensive line issues. Then when your offensive line is good, you haven't had the separation. Well, when are the things just going to come together? That's what I'm waiting for. You know, earlier in the show, you were hitting on the schedule, and we've had some callers talk about not scared about Seattle, not scared about San Francisco. They're coming back down towards where the Giants are. Hey, that's great. I mean, it's great to break down this week-to-week league, but until the Giants prove that they're a consistent team, John, I'm not getting sold on anything.
Who knows who's showing up?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what team is going to show up each and every week. I can't tell you with full confidence, as I get extremely animated with my wires here, what's going to happen tonight, because I don't know, is the offensive line going to be dominant? Is this going to be the first game where the Giants are actually going to be able to run the football when they haven't been able to do that the last two games? You know, is Odell Beckham going to get separation against a guy like Vontae Davis or Greg Toler, which is a very tough assignment? We have yet to see two or three games, a stretch. You know, show me a stretch where I can put some stock or substance into making that type of an argument.
No question. By the way, I want to remind you, if you listen to the Giants Big Blue Kickoff Live Show or any other of our programmings on your app, we have a brand new Giants app that is available today. It is now also compatible with the iPad. So go to your Google Play Store, iTunes, whatever their phone you might have. If you're Paul Dottino, get on your fax machine. You can send in the fax and get the app down on your phone too. And you can download the Giants brand new mobile app. It's really great. And remember, the halftime presentation, to Michael Strahan can be heard on that and watched on that mobile app. Tonight when the Giants take on the Colts. Final call of the show is A.J. down in South Carolina, then our final thoughts and our predictions for tonight. A.J., what's going on?
Good.
What do you got, A.J.?
Well, yeah, what you got, A.J.? You're on the air.
The Giants pass rush, they need to get press on Andrew Luck on the night.
No question about it, and the Giants have to protect their quarterback. Pass rush is always huge, A.J. What else you got?
The fullback, why isn't he playing more Hunasi?
You know, I've gotten that question a lot, AJ, and I know a lot of Giant fans think that's going to help the running game a lot. I haven't seen any numbers that would tell me the Giants run the ball significantly better with Hanocki on the field. Now, I don't know where I'd find those numbers, but usually people would have them, and if they were significant, they'd be brought up, and I haven't seen any of those. Do you think that would make a significant difference, Lance, having Hanocki on the field?
Well, I mean, I think at this point it can't hurt. I haven't seen numbers that show a huge disparity, but I also get back to what we've talked about the last few weeks, and even some of the callers alluded to this. You could throw Hanocki in, you could get better blocking, you get better holes. Andre Williams still needs to improve in that department in seeing the holes. You know, part of the running game struggles, yes, it's on the offensive line, but it's also the lack of patience out of a young running back. And this is the learning curve of a rookie. And David Wilson could talk about this. Even Rashad Jennings could talk about this when he first came into the league. There's a transition going from college to the pros in seeing the holes, understanding the scheme. And, you know, this has been an up-and-down battle for Andre Williams. Now that he's had a few games under his belt where he started a game, he's not worried about coming in middle of a game and being that change of pace back. You know, perhaps this is going to be the game where he turns the corner. But, you know, a lot of it, I think, falls, John, on you put Hynoski in. Hynoski opens a hole for you. As a young running back, are you going to take the hole? Or are you going to dance around and have those happy feet and go somewhere else? So, you know, it really falls on the shoulders of the running back. How is the running back seeing the hole? How is he seeing the scheme? And what type of direction does he see fit?
And Ben McAdoo was asked about Andre Williams earlier this week, and he basically said they're working on trying to be a little bit more patient getting to the hole and then exploding through. So that's something he's certainly working on. AJ, thanks for the call, man. We appreciate it. Great job. But I'm sorry, AJ, you got one more thing for us? He's gone now. Okay, sorry about that, AJ. Couple things on Twitter. Joe at JCSO2008. Does anyone know the Pro Football Focus grades for Hankins versus Linval Joseph this year? I know they have Hankins in the top 10, so I'm pretty sure he's ahead of Linval Joseph in terms of the grades. This from Dwayne Kennedy at FatDaddy43 with the PH, not
that's
with the F,
name.
By the way. Yes. All those plays happened in 2011. This is talking about playing above the X's and O's, I believe. Playing above the X's and O's because they were aggressive. Going back to that 2011 team, enough with the scared football. Dwayne, I don't think they're scared. I just don't think the players are as good.
That
might be the case.
Down low. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Talent. The lack of the depth chart. It's been evident the last few
weeks. Let me ask you something. Who would you rather have? Cruz and Nix in their prime in 2011 or Ruben Rander or Odell Beckham Jr.? Is there even a doubt? Would you rather the offensive line back in 2011 or the offensive line today? Now, granted, the Giants' offensive line in 2011 wasn't at its peak like it was in 08-09. It wasn't at that level, but it was certainly playing better than it was this year. Though the Giants' running game that year, if you remember, was ranked 32nd in the league. So they had their own offensive line problems, that issue as well.
Running game didn't come alive until the postseason.
No question about it. Lance, final thoughts, even another tweet
for
us?
I was going to just throw out, in terms of the injury report, because at NYG Reporter asks, they need to win tonight. They must stop Luck. That was one of his points. But he also went on to ask a little bit later on about the latest with respect to injuries on this team, how his rehab is going. Well, Jennings, we know he's not playing tonight. He's hoping to return for Week 10. They're
we'll
not going to have Jennings.
He has not even cut yet, last I heard. He's only done running. So we'll see if he can get into the cutting next week.
And we'll also see if he can get involved in a practice. So that usually is the first indicator that you're ready to play in a game. Speaking of practice, Jeff Schwartz, he's making strides, but he's also not playing tonight. Yeah. And that also remains to be seen whether or not he's going to return.
And I believe Tom Coughlin has said a ways to go. It looks like he's still being a little tentative out there. So, honestly, I would not – I'd say Schwartz definitely not in Seattle. I'd say Jennings 50-50, maybe 60-40, no, not playing in Seattle.
And the fact that it's a short turnaround
doesn't help.
Yeah.
Long trip doesn't help.
I'm going to say right now my money is Schwartz and Jennings, San Francisco.
And we'll see about Colin Jenkins. He has not practiced any. He was moving around the locker room this week a lot better than he was the week before.
He said he made progress. I think he shedded the boot, if
he did.
I'm correct. So that's why he said that he started to feel better. But once again, it's a matter of practice. Those are the three major injuries. With DRC, listen, DRC is going to be active. You just don't know how effective he's going to be and how many snaps he's going to play. It's going to be, you know, a thing of management. And it was interesting because I was getting into a debate on Twitter with a Giants fan who said that, oh, you know, it's great. They get the bye. They get the 2 weeks. They're going to rest up DRC. He's going to come back. He's going to be 100%. it's something you're going to have to manage throughout the season,
yeah.
John.
I mean,
you can shut him down for 3 weeks. He's not going to be fully healthy.
I mean, Perryfield and Tom Coughlin both said this week, we don't know what we're getting out of Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie on Monday night. Not a great sign. Just saying, especially, and how about the turnaround next week with the short week, him trying to turn that back around? That's going to be even worse.
Limited practice time because you don't want to wear him down. You need him ready to go against
Seattle. You want recovery days.
Yeah, it's tough. This is not a fun experience over these next 2 weeks. And we don't want to get ahead of ourselves looking ahead at the Seahawks game. But, you know, hey, this is the nature of the schedule. You have a Monday night game, and then you got to go cross-country to Seattle. I'm sure if Tom Coughlin could get an earful towards the league, he would have said, guys, you could have taken it a little bit easier on us.
All right, Lance, we got to go. We're already over our time. Final thoughts. What do you think as the Giants get going tonight? Either predictions, keys to the game. What are your final thoughts as we head to go towards game time?
Well, I'd be very surprised if this is a lopsided affair tonight. I think Indy's going to score its fair share of points, I'll tell you that. But I think the Giants are going to have success moving the football. Eli Manning is very good off the bye. He actually has very good numbers, and he's done a good job protecting the football. You know, this is going to be a game, I think, that the Giants are going to make some strides with that running game. Andre Williams should have a little bit more space because, if anything, the Colts are stingier in their secondary, more so than with respect to stopping the run. They're good at getting the quarterback, but teams have had some success on the ground. So, you know, I think the Giants' offense is going to have success, but at the end of the day, I'm nervous about the defense. That's the one thing that petrifies me about this game, and while I think the offense is going to have success, I don't see this offense dominating in time of possession. They have really yet to have that game where you're going to have one consistent drive after another, and that's what they're going to need to walk out of tonight's game with a victory.
This is how I look at today's game. I know one message Tom Coughlin sent to his team this week was stay in this game. If you look at the numbers in the first quarter this year, the Giants have been outscored by almost 30 points. The Colts, on the other hand, have outscored their opponents by more than 50 points in the first quarter. So I know one thing Tom Coughlin said to his team, if we get down early here, stay in the game. The Colts have been a very up-and-down team this year. They'll play great for a half, not so great another half. They'll have big leads, blow those leads, go down big, come back and win the game. I mean, that game against Philadelphia, where they had the big lead earlier in the year, and the Eagles came back and ended up winning that game.
That was a Monday night game,
Monday
too.
Night game, yeah. Exactly. So that's one message Tom Coughlin had to his team today. And I will say, or this week rather, as for today, this game has the potential to get away from this team tonight if they don't play well. If you have a few three and outs in that first half, if you have a turnover, if you give up a couple of big plays on defense, this game can go south very, very quickly. The Giants have to play disciplined. They can't make mistakes. They can't afford them. And they have to sustain drives offensively. The Giants have to get into the end zone when they get into the red zone. Field goals will not win this game. And this game is on the offense. I mean, the defense is going to give up their points. The Colts are going to move the ball. They're going to score. They're too good. No one has stopped them this year. With the Giants and how they're banged up on that side of the ball, I don't think the Giants will, quote-unquote, stop them this week, tonight. So the offense is going to have to score. They're going to have to show more consistency than they've showed probably since that Washington Redskins game, though they were benefited in that game a lot by takeaways and turnovers. This offense is going to have to play like they did against the Falcons in the second half for an entire game. That, to me, was the Giants' best offensive half this year against the Falcons. They need to do that for four quarters tonight against the Colts if they want to win this game, and that's kind of how I look at it as the Giants get ready to take on the Colts on Monday Night Football. A couple pieces of business before we say goodbye. First of all, listeners are winning cash every week at DraftKings.com, America's favorite one-week fantasy football site, where it's like a new season every time you play. Hurry! Go to DraftKings.com to enter into the $100,000 fantasy football contest this weekend, where you can win up to $10,000. Head to DraftKings.com right now. Enter code BLUE to play for free. DraftKings.com. Bigger events, bigger winnings, bigger millionaires. Enter BLUE. Free entry now at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com. I want to remind you again, tonight is Michael Strahan night, homecoming night for the New York Football Giants. Get into your seats early as 8 o'clock for the 8:30 kick. You'll have more than 100 alumni joining in a gauntlet when the Giants get introduced. They'll run through all the alumni when they go onto the field. At halftime, Michael Strahan gets his Hall of Fame ring. By the way, you can watch that on Giants.com. But if you're in the stadium, stay in your seats. You will have a bunch of Michael's former teammates. You will have all the Giants, or most of the Giants, Hall of Famers on the field as well to help celebrate with Michael as he gets his Hall of Fame ring. He'll talk to the crowd as well for about a minute. So you don't want to miss that on Michael Strahan night, homecoming night for the Giants at MetLife Stadium as they take on the Indianapolis Colts in a very important game.
Or what we like to call an early Christmas for Paul Dottino, because he can reminisce about all that has happened over the last few decades in which he's covered the team. Don't expect the players to be that excited, but Paul will be.
Do you think Dottino will sneak into the gauntlet before the game?
I can only imagine what he's got up his sleeve. But this is holiday season for him. I mean, think about all these former Giants that are going to be there tonight.
Yeah, so it'll be the most people trying to avoid Paul Dottino at the same time.
Exactly.
We're going to set a new Guinness Book of World Records tonight. The most people trying to avoid one man on the same
There's
time.
There's a reason why we had trouble booking a guest for our pregame show tonight. Because they just don't want to come to the stage and talk to Paul Dottino.
And that's a good segue, Lance. You can listen to our pregame show on WFAN starting at 7 o'clock for that 8:30 kick. I talked to Michael Strand earlier in the week. You will hear that. David Wilson will be live with us outside the stadium. And if you're in the stadium, you want to head in early, you can head by our stage right outside the West VIP gate. We'll have giveaways, we'll have contests, we'll have trivia questions, a lot of fun stuff going on. And again, want to remind you, as I said earlier in the show, download the brand new Giants app for your phone, for your iPad. Check it out. It's great stuff. And again, you can stream Strahan's halftime celebration as well on that mobile app tonight at MetLife Stadium. That's a lot of business.
A lot of business to throw out.
But we got to take it care of. For Lance Mendel, I'm John Schmelk. Enjoy the game tonight. We'll see you later on Giants.com. More preview as the day goes along tonight. Giants and Colts, Monday Night Football, live from MetLife Stadium. Make sure you check it out. Enjoy the game, everybody.
Oh, here we go, here we go. Here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go, let's go.
He's got through. 35, 30.